worship's kind of nice, right? No, you're supposed to say it was excellent. Ready? It was excellent. There we go. Yeah, give some honor to the worship team. You appreciate them. Hey, in our house, there's a special appreciation for teachers and what they do. I spent a decade and a half as administrator of a Christian school, and I have a wife that was trained and a professional teacher, and so just it's just something that's in our house. We personally, just from our own hearts, consider what's going to happen in a week or 2 weeks as being highly important. And so Molly makes me eat Spam and crackers. No, not really. Not really. She wouldn't let me eat those. But she personally gives of her own wealth. She's like extremely wealthy lady, and she, sacrificially, we give from our family toward helping teachers with the giveaway that we give, because it's not the school supplies for the kids. We just see it a different way. It's a school supply for the teachers. Because if teachers do not have supplies in their classroom, guess what they do? Yeah, and I'll tell you something else about teachers. You think that they put in their 8 hours at work, but in order to do those 8 hours at work, they are doing prep time at home and catch-up time, because what's happened recently over the last decade or so is there are so many qualifications where they have to do, okay, this is my opinion, mindless paperwork instead of being able to give time toward what's important. And so now they have to spend their time to do that. And it's a big deal when they come in here. It's just a big deal in my heart, I think in the Lord's heart, but it's a blessing to them when they come in here and we relieve them from the year of that one little thing of them having to come up with supplies if we need them, okay? So my wife will shop for you. I'm telling her right now. But I know her heart. Her heart's just like, you never met a heart like this one. So if you go, I don't have time to get supplies. If you have time, I will say this in the Lord, because it's examples in the Bible, is it is more important to give something than it is to give money, because it ties your heart to it more. So in the Old Testament, God didn't say bring money. He said bring your sheep. He didn't say bring money. He said bring part of your corn, because they had been in the field working in the corn, and now the corn means something. Does that make some manner of sense? So if you give money, of course you went to work, you got the money, and that's the thing. But if you go shop and pick it out, it just means a little bit more to you. But I understand in our culture that you might not have time to do that. Give her money, and we'll go shopping together and get it, just because we want to have a plethora of stuff to give them. Is that a good enough commercial? Anybody like the commercial? The commercial might be better than the preach. Just go ahead and go with the commercial. I think that's the main commercial I want to do. There are four ways to bow before the Lord. I'm going to give you a 30-second worship snippet, worship training. In the Bible, there are four ways to bow before the Lord. One is you bow your head. Anybody remember reading in the Bible about bowing your head to the Lord? And then here's the counter. If you won't bow your head in the Bible, what are you called? Does anybody know? Stiff-necked. Stiff-necked person means I will not bow my head to the Lord. I'll do what I want to. It's called, in the Bible, it's called stiff-necked. But the opposite of that is somebody that'll do what? Bow their head. Now here's the symbol. It means I bow my will to God's will. Okay? It means I have an opinion, and now I bow my opinion to the Lord. We teach our kids, fold your hands and bow your head and close your eyes. None of those are in the Bible, but we teach them, right? Except to bow your head. The Bible says to raise your hand, right? But we, anyway, it's cute. I like it. I probably taught it to my kids. But the symbolism is I bow my head over my folded hands, meaning I submit my opinion and I submit my action to the Lord, okay? So in the Bible, point one is I bow my head. Point two is I bow at the waist. Bow at the waist means I bow my heart to the Lord. Bow at the head, I bow my mind to the Lord. Bow at the waist, I bow my heart to the Lord. Third way, when I bow my knee, I bow my strength to the Lord. Does that make sense? So I might go, I bow my head, I bow my heart, I bow my strength. The fourth way is bow my head, bow my heart, bow my strength, bow my neck, bow at the waist. I lived in Oriental culture for a little while, and a form of respect is someone comes into a room, you bow before them. In their culture, which is an Eastern culture, also in Jewish culture, it means I submit to you, I have no defense. And the eyes go to the ground, and now I'm totally vulnerable. You can do anything you want to me or with me. That's the symbol. I bow before the Lord. Number two, I am now even more vulnerable. I'm on my knees with my head bowed and my heart bowed to the Lord, okay? Now, the one on the knees has two sections. Man, the Bible goes deep sometimes. The one on the knees has two sections. It could be I'm on my knees, but then this one you'll find three or four times in the Bible, I'm on my knees with my forehead to the ground. Totally vulnerable, I can't run, I'm immobile with what? My strength, my heart, and my head bowed to the Lord, okay? So you have bow my neck, you have bow at the waist, you have bow the knee, and now at bow the knee, I have bow the knee up or bow the knee with my, and the motion itself is a form of worship. How many people in the room say, I wish I could do that again? I go, my knee and my back don't like that. But then there's number four. And number four, you'll find a couple times in the Bible, Solomon, you'll find it, David, you'll find it, you're exactly right. It's where I lay flat on the floor before the Lord. I heard a preacher talking about it one time, and he called it laying prostrate before the Lord. And I go, no, you need to add an R, okay? It's prostrate, okay? And that is, I'm laying flat out before the Lord. It is in submission to God. It is a bodily position in submission to God that has to do with prayer in the Bible. Now, don't start out at the hardest one, because if you are over 50, you'll go to sleep and you can't get up. But for real, just to help. There are times when I'm praying to God, what I'm saying is important. Anybody think that could be true? Sometimes what you're saying is not important, but sometimes when you pray to God, sometimes people call a prayer session is actually a complaint section. Right, a session, and it's I'm complaining to God, and God's not listening to that, okay? But you think he is, but let me ask you a question. When your kids are grumbling and hateful and fighting and you're doing something, are you listening to them? No, okay, so God might not be listening when you're grumble section. But if I'm honoring the name of Jesus, my prayer request has to do with the purposes and the plans of God, and I am in a position. The position itself is speaking something to God. It's in the Bible, okay? So I'm bowing my will. I'm bowing my emotion. I'm bowing my strength. Or I'm laying out before the Lord saying, I am empty with nothing. I'm asking you to fill me and direct me. Now, I'll let you into my prayer closet just for 3 minutes. I have liked to do this. I don't always get to do it. I've liked to do this for several decades, is before I preach on Sunday morning, I like to get alone somewhere and lay out before the Lord and say, the only thing I have to stand before people with is the Word of God and my history in God. I have actually walked some things out in God, and I have the Word of God, and the Word is definitely superior to my history. And then, this is our house, and we all sit in the same place. If somebody is in your place, you just come and stand in front of them and let them know, pat your foot, let them know that they're in the wrong place this morning, and that's where you sit, okay? And if you come in late, you might not get your place, so get here early. No, but I know generally where people sit in this congregation. But if you're not there, it's okay. I like to just lay before the Lord, bring to Him who I am, the idea or the sermon, the message I feel like He has, and then pray over sections of the congregation, going, Lord, move here. I know this person is going through that. Use your word and touch that. Lord, bring healing here. Lord, bring strength here. And this morning, I have maybe one of the best sermons in the history of the world that I have spent laborious hours putting together. And I'm laying before the Lord, and I just before I walked in here, I just heard clearly the Lord say, present me as Jehovah Parazim. And I go, okay, Lord, I know what Jehovah Parazim means. That doesn't have anything to do with what I'm about to preach here right now. And so I've learned through the years, if God says do this and you think it's good to do this, guess what's best to do? Just go ahead and do what God said. Not that the word is not important. So I'm going to preach God's sermon. Then we're going to have lunch. And then I'm going to preach my sermon. So whatever you got going on this afternoon, just get in your phone right now and cancel that. I'll give you 30 seconds to do that. We're going to be here a while. No, we're really going to be here not that long. Jehovah Parazim, by noon, 1:30, we'll be out. Jehovah Parazim in the Bible means God of the breakthrough. Jehovah Parazim is a name out of his friendship with God. I am a friend with God. He calls me friend. God has a friend named David in the Bible who had relationship with God. And he is surrounded. He is about to be overcome by some Philistines. He cries out to God. God comes through on his behalf and he wins the battle. And he named the place where the battle is won Jehovah Parazim. Jehovah Parazim means God is the God of the breakthrough. In the Hebrew word, here's what he said. As a man runs his hand through water, so God runs his hand through his enemies. And David said, there are some enemies that have encamped about me. There is absolutely and completely no way I could defeat them. I cried out to God, and God ran his hands through my enemy like a man runs his hand through water. You run through your hand through water, there's not much resistance. It just, your hand goes through water. Try running your hand through concrete, then try water. See which one you want to do the third time. You choose concrete, you choose water. Third time, you get either choice. And here's what he's saying. The enemy has come against me that is greater than me. Look at this. I am overwhelmed and under-resourced. You ever felt like that? Overwhelmed, under-resourced. I do not know what I'm going to do. And David said, in that circumstance, I cried out to God. When I cried out to God and I trusted God, God did what I could not do. He ran his hand through my circumstance like a man runs his hand through water. Amen. I thought I'd get an amen, but I'll give you signals, okay? When I go like this, you go amen. It'll on TV, they'll think that we're really in sync with one another, okay? We're talking about, and I'm going to stay on it, and next week I'll come back and probably preach the fullness. I'm probably 30% of what I was going to preach, I'm going to preach, but next week I'll come back and put it together. We're talking about sharing our faith. The concept of sharing our faith I want to show us today is I have faith. God grows me in faith. It enables me to believe God. It's like David, he's surrounded by Philistines. His first reaction, his gut reaction to problem is cry out to God. And he's cried out to God enough that he knows when I cry out to God, there's response from God. So now I am in a completely stuck place. How do I say it? I'm encamped about. I'm in strong resistance. I am overwhelmed. I am under-resourced. There is nothing I can do, but I have a history. I know a name above other names. And so he cries out to God, and God comes through on his behalf. And I don't know if it's you. I'm kind of shaking it. I know that God's amazing. I cry out to God, and God comes through. And then I get real bold, and I go, well, I knew he was going to do that. Right? And now I come through the other side, and he goes, I'm just going to name that place God breaks through for me. Right? And now and then it goes into the Bible, and from David till eternity, God is known as the God who breaks through for me. Good news, right? Start with a story, and then I'm going to take us to a point. Next week I'll make that point a little more clear, but here's the point. Sometimes God gives you faith for you. Does that make sense? Do you know that you didn't believe God till God gave you the ability to believe him? And then you believe him, and he's so good that he gives you a Sunday school star and a check in heaven because you believed him. And you go, yay, God, I believed you and I got through this. And he goes, man, you're amazing. It's like when you give your kids money so they can buy you a Christmas present. And then you open it and you go, amazing Christmas present. They go, yeah, I'm pretty good at buying Christmas presents, right? And here's what God will do. It's called the gift of faith. And he's just amazing. He will give you faith to believe for your problem. And so David's sitting there surrounded by Philistines and all them other steens. There are all kinds of ites, Amorites and mean ites and all kinds of stuff in the Bible. And he's surrounded by them, Philistines, and they're big old 9-foot guys and all like that. And he goes, you know what? I remember when a lion came after me. God gave me the strength to overcome it. I remember when a bear came after me. Just me and God alone, building a history in God. And he goes, now the circumstance is bigger, but the God's the same, right? And he goes, I'm just going to believe you that you can get me through even this. Where did he get the faith to believe him from? Yeah, so God gives him faith, or God does things that you trust him in. And now the next thing comes along, and you go, I can trust him in that because I trusted him in that. And it's God relationally building faith for you. Now here's part two. Sometimes God gives you faith for other people. Yeah, I'm asking you for money for teachers, and we're going to bless them. And here's what I believe. I believe it for me. I believe it for you. All the money God gives you isn't for you. Some of the money God gives you is so you can take that money and sow it in God's name to somebody else. Believe that? All your time doesn't belong to you. Just have a kid. You'll find out. Have two of them. By three kids, parents have to learn to play zone defense. Because you can play one-on-one if you only got two. By the time you get three, you got to play zone. I grew up with six, had four, and they bring their friends over. And I go, baby, it's zone time. We can't even play one-on-one now. Huh? Because some of the time that I have in life isn't for me. I sow the time. And God, This is amazing. I'll show it to you. It's just clear as day in the Bible. God will enable you to go through a tough time. You'll get through your tough time, and you will believe God like you never believed God before the tough time. And then he'll bring somebody else in your path going through a tough time, and you'll go, I got this. And it's not arrogance. It's the way it's supposed to be. It will be, I have walked through this. God helped me through this. God will help you through this. And now all of a sudden, you will leverage your history in God for their good. Don't waste a good problem. Let me say that again. Don't waste a good problem. Your good days are easy to waste. Your bad days, don't dare waste a bad day. Because it will change lives generations later. Your bad days will. Because you'll learn more in your bad day than you ever did in your good day. When you got extra money, you do not care about budget and sewing and all that kind of stuff. And now you get down to nothing, and all of a sudden you become a genius. Because your bad day actually developed you in ways your good day couldn't. Okay, how many people have been through a bad day? Would you please raise your hand? How many people have had an emotional experience in a bad day, and you remember the bad day very well? Let me tell you what. That right there is ammo, strength, resource that will help many other people through bad days. That's amazing. And so here's what God will do. God will give you faith for you, and God will give you faith for someone else, and you will pray for them. Let me show you about David's buddies. David's buddies are about to die surrounded by a bunch of giants. They didn't even pray. David did. David prayed, they got rescued. And the next day, when all the giants are dead, they're patting David on the back, going, you the man, right? You got us through again. Oh, and David's going, let me just put a rock right here. And this rock right here is not called David's all that. This rock right here is called Jehovah Perazim. And let me show you something. Every time one of your children walk this way, let them know they would not exist were it not for Jehovah Perazim. Because you'd have died that day and they'd have never been born. So that bad day is leveraged for generations to come because God is the God of the breakthrough. Now, he is not only the God of the breakthrough for you. He's the God of the breakthrough for others also. Because you leverage your breakthrough in God. That's amazing. I asked Janet last week. Janet and I had church after church last week. We had church, and then she and I sat in the back, and we had church, and we're crying and looking at each other. And I had not been through what she'd been through, but I've been through something. And those of you here, I go, I want to share that. I didn't know I would share it today, but it'll be okay, Janet. Those of you that don't know the beautiful lady on the back row, fourth first person in towards you with the blonde hair. Platinum, because she's worth more than gold. Someone broke into her house. They stabbed her multiple times, and it's gross. They literally slit her throat, left her to die. And she said, when you were preaching about that light, remember that light that hit Paul? She goes, I have seen that light. And losing blood from multiple places, no way to self-assist in any way, lying on her back, she said, the light, I saw it. And you believe whatever you want to believe, but that was decades ago. She's just here, still here. I really don't care what you believe. She goes, the light, and I don't know if it's audible. It may not be. It doesn't matter if it's audible. If it's internal in your mind and you understand what's being communicated. And the Lord said to her, trust me. Well, that's a deep... When you're breeding from all kinds of places, God ain't got time to give you a long sermon. Trust me. And she said, okay. Three-word conversation. And here's what we were talking about. There's a difference between praying and trusting God. There's a difference between saying, God, would you, and saying, I just bow my head. I just bowed my waist. God, I just bowed the knee. There is no course B. In that situation right there, there was no course B. When the Apostle Paul, it's noonday, and a laser beam that is greater than the noonday sun in the desert knocks him off a horse. There is no trust B. I mean, plan B. There's trust me, don't trust me. Only two options there are. When you are overwhelmed and under-resourced, God is the God of the breakthrough. And you can trust Him. Through a series of miraculous occurrences, she did get rescued. And she's told me, I've asked her about this a couple of times. From that moment until today, there's never been fear about that incident. From that moment until today, there are people go through, do you know there are people that go through a third of that or less, and they counsel for decades, and from that moment till today, go talk to her, watch her eyes just ask her. No. Because what? I trusted Him. When I trusted Him, that light that was out there came in here. I don't know what happened. Don't have to know. Don't have to explain it. I know this. He's the God of the breakthrough. Sometimes that breakthrough is for me personally. Now, on the other end of it, that breakthrough is leveraged for other people in other circumstances. Is it because she's amazing, though she is amazing, that's not the source or the reason? It is because she is telling you about a God whose nature is. God don't need a breakthrough. Come on. God does not need a breakthrough. But He is the God of the breakthrough for whom? For me. You. Others also. Does that... Are we tracking? So the Apostle Paul, I grew up as a young preacher listening to African-American preachers. I've heard preachers all over the world. There is nobody that can preach like an African-American preacher except an African-African preacher. And an African-African preacher I heard say one time, you are not picking up what I am putting down. He said, I am preaching and you are not getting it. So I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down, okay? And I want to take you to the Apostle Paul. I really want to preach this a long time, but I don't think it's beneficial. I want to take you to Acts chapter 26. I just want to show you one passage. And I want to show you one sentence in one passage. Your breakthrough in God, what God has brought you through, has the ability to bless other people in five ways. And it's in 26:18. If you can run me down to that one, page. Yeah, 17. He talks about I'll deliver you. And he goes, here's why he was called. Here's why the light hit him. Here's why he had his relationship with God. And I want to show you five things. He goes, I've been through this in order to open their eyes. He goes, and it's a great illustration. The light hits him, knocks him down. He goes blind. He's blind for 3 days. The guy comes and prays for him. His eyes open up. He's instantly opened up. He's baptized, and boom, he starts his history in God. But the illustration was he's blind for 3 days, and look what he says God sent me to do. Open the eyes of the blind. That's good news. A okay? Five things. You'll open their eyes. You'll turn them from darkness to light. My circumstance. Story shared. I'm shining and sharing. I'm just shining in the light of God. His love is in me. I'm just being me where I is. And his life in me is radiating out. That radiation will cause other people's eyes to open. It's amazing truth. Okay? It will turn them from darkness to light. This is the major term. It will turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. There is a power that is controlling them. That when God breaks through, that power will be dismissed. A new power will enter. It is a superior power. It is the power of God that will overcome the power of the enemy. So open their eyes, turn from dark to light, the power of God, from the power of the enemy to the power of God. They will receive forgiveness of sin. That would be good. You've sinned against God. God forgives you. That would be good. If that were the end of the story, that would be good. But then the next thing he says, that they may receive their inheritance that's in God. So he goes, I'll open their eyes. They'll walk out of darkness into light. They'll be moved from the power of Satan to the power of God. I'll forgive their sins. And then what? I will give them an inheritance in God. Amazing. This next verse blew my mind a decade ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was, because here's what he said. Among those who are sanctified by faith in me. It does not say they put their faith in Paul and they were sanctified. Here's exactly what it says. There was faith inside me when I shined and shared. I was just there, and the presence of God is flowing. The light came on him, then the light is in him. Now the light's coming out of him, meaning the life, love of God, right? And he goes, and now, because of the faith in me, they went free. That is amazing. They are bound up in darkness. They cannot see light. They cannot get away. And Paul goes, but I had faith in me. And the faith that is on the inside of me became deliverance for them because I prayed for them. That is amazing. I shared with them. Paul's on a boat. I'll give you an illustration, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to say, who needs a breakthrough? I need a breakthrough. Anybody need a breakthrough? Three people? Okay, good. You're exactly who I wanted, because how many people in here know somebody that needs a breakthrough? Because I'm not talking about me as my breakthrough. I'm talking about there's faith in me that's good for somebody else's breakthrough. You know somebody else that needs a breakthrough, right? Paul's on a boat. It's a couple of chapters later. After this, he's his own defense attorney, and they go, okay, take it to the Supreme Court. He wins the case, and they go, take it to the Supreme Court. He's on his way to the Supreme Court in Rome. There's going to be a storm. The Lord shows him there's going to be a storm. He tells the guy, everybody on this boat is going to die. There's going to be a storm. The guy goes, I don't care what you think. I saw the Weather Channel. It's really not going to be that bad. And they take off. When they take off, the storm comes. Paul goes back to him the second time, and here's what he said. The angel of the Lord came and gave me some information today, and everything's going to be lost. Don't try to save anything. But then he said, but no human being is going to die. And then he tells you there's 156 people there. In the beginning, it says all of them were going to die. At the end, none of them died. And the only, come on, Jim, the only difference was there was faith in Paul that cried out to God. God heard Paul and saved all 156. And their break, not one of them prayed. Matter of fact, they were at the Ouija board over at the, fortune teller playing the Ouija board, what they were doing. They were fasting to a demonic God. And Paul started praying, and his praying beat their praying. And in a minute, they're going, we don't believe our God anymore. We believe your God. And all 156 of them are saved from dying in the ocean because there was one little breakthrough carrier that was on the boat. His name was Paul. And because of his faith in God, he leveraged their breakthrough. Isn't that good news? It's like amazing news. Let me tell you what God's going to do. God is going to send you. He'll direct you. And then he will attract people to you for their breakthrough. Isn't that amazing? I go, what's my goal? Shine and share. My goal is I'm walking in relationship with God, and I just share my conversion story, my bless me story, my hard story, and watch God touch their life through the faith that he put in me for their behalf. It's amazing. Let me tell you a story, and then we'll pray. Anybody got a breakthrough? If your left hand is, I need a breakthrough for me. Anybody? Okay, Melissa and I, we're going to pray. We're going to get a breakthrough. Y'all just sit there and live your life, okay? And then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for us first, and then we're going to pray. And I want you to specifically think about somebody, but more than think about, I want you literally to pray for somebody just for a moment, in just a moment, probably 3 minutes. And you're going to go, Lord, would you send a breakthrough on their behalf? I trust you for me. This is more than pray. I trust you for me, and I trust you for them. Molly likes to take me out on excursions and thinks she can put a bike under me and I can get it where she wants to go. And sometimes it's a challenge. No, we really did. It was just an interesting thing. I give it to you just an illustration. Then we're going to pray. We drive and ride bikes somewhere else. She goes, let's just ride around home. And I go, okay, good idea. Where do you want to go? She goes, I think I'm going to ride to Shelbyville. I goes, that's just what I was thinking about. She goes, well, let me build a route. So she's on her phone building a route. And she goes, we're going to get up early, ride to Shelbyville, eat, come back so you can do yard work. Okay. she don't want to waste a Saturday or Friday. Right? And, okay. And there's a little place we like to eat over there. She goes, where do you want to eat? And I told her where I was. She goes, that's where I built the map to. That's where I want to eat to. So we get up. And when we got up, it was raining. So we didn't get a takeoff when we did. But we made it. And she rode. I pushed mine half the way. But we got there. And we get there. And normally we would sit outside. They have an outside sitting. And I go, but it's hot. And let's just sit inside today. Yeah. Every one of the decisions I told you were together, though we didn't make them together. And a couple of them are contrary to the way we would do things. But we did it. And we go in and we sit down. And there's a lady there. And I'm being goofing and start talking to her just a minute. And 3 sentences in, both of us know this is why we're here. And I'm thinking, I'm heading off to the bathroom. I go, oh, that's our assignment right there. Heading over to the bathroom. And I was just thinking, if we would have left when we thought we should have left, we'd have missed the assignment. The rain altered our, and a few other things altered our way. And I'm in there and I'm thinking about how I'm going to interact with this lady, because I know God said, that's why you're here. And I open the door up, and there's my wife sitting beside her. Molly's already picked it up. Oh, here's why we're here. She's sitting. It took less than 2 minutes. A complete stranger is pouring out their most painful present circumstance in life. Never met them before. All of a sudden, she's pouring out tears in her eyes. This is a major pain point. And Molly prayed with her. And you could watch tangibly the peace of the Lord come over and the God of the breakthrough starting his hand through that problem. And I go, I'm just thinking, directed where I need to be, and then the attraction of bringing the person, sending. I want to be a person that is open to be where I need to be with the story of what God has done for me. Come on, somebody. That leverages the breakthrough on their behalf. Isn't that good news? I just think God's like, sometimes you just go, God, you're amazing. And my modern day amen is wow. I just go, wow. And then I say it backwards. I just thought I'd just bow before you and worship you frontwards and backwards. Here's what I believe. I believe he is the God of the breakthrough. I believe we can trust him for those breakthroughs. I believe we can trust him for ourselves. And I believe we can trust him for others. I think that he has built a faith in us that is good for their eyes to be open, for them to come out of darkness into light, for the power of the enemy to be broken and the power of God to be released, for sins to be forgiven, and for the inheritance in God to be lived in and experienced in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You mind to stand with me? We're going to pray, and then our worship team will come. I want them just to be able to receive and pray, and then they can come lead us in worship. Now, I really want you to think about one. You might have three. God's big enough. God's got all kinds of power and strength, and he can do all of it for all of us. But I want you to think at least one situation where I need a breakthrough. Right here, God, I need a breakthrough. God doesn't play. If he altered my thinking, my direction to say, I want you to present me as the God of the breakthrough, that means he'll show up as the God of the breakthrough. Lord, this circumstance, this situation, this health circumstance, this spiritual situation, this physical, financial, relational situation, I bring it to you right now. I see you as the God of the breakthrough. I believe you can run your hand through my enemies the way a man runs his hand through water. I believe that your power is greater. Lord, I'm overwhelmed, I'm under-resourced, and I cry out to you. And I ask you, show up on my behalf as the God of the breakthrough. I trust you. Some of you already are, and I see you grabbing one another's hands, and that's the way family should be, church should be. But there may, and if someone is in this room you're praying for, you feel free to just move toward them, put your hand on their shoulder, grab their hand, touch their shoulder, put your hand on the top of their back. Father, I'm praying for my friend right now. It might be somebody that's not here. It might be a family member, a child. I pray right now, just like David prayed, just like Paul prayed, that somewhere else, someone else, somewhere else even, they need a breakthrough. They need you to come through on their behalf. They are encompassed about with problems that are greater than they are. They are overwhelmed. They are under-resourced. Now we cry out to you on their behalf, God, that you would touch them, that you would run your hand through the resistance, that you would do what no one else can do, that you would release a power that no one else has, that you would give information that other people don't know, that you would bring a peace that passes every circumstance and every situation and brings the environment of your world and your kingdom to bear for them. Lord, I pray that you would create a way where there is no way. Create a way where there is no way, God. Open doors that no one can shut. That you would do things that no human being has the ability. But you'll break through for them. Lord, we bless you, we trust you, we worship you. We bow our neck, we bow our waist, we bow our knee. We lay out before you in our hearts, before your goodness, before your power, we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's worship.